Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a story about a woman who asked what it would take to become a member of her local Lutheran church. Well, the answer she received is that there are two requirements to become a Lutheran. First, you have to believe and accept what's taught in Luther's Small Catechism, which is what our confirmation classes are for, to go through the catechism and understand what it is that we believe. The second requirement is that you have to own a 9x13 casserole dish. Meals, communal meals, or meals of fellowship or family are important. I think everyone can agree to that. Eating together and sharing life as friends, as family, as the body of Christ, all of these things are important parts of our life. Why do you think we have so many potlucks? Eating is necessary for life, and the people with whom you eat are also significant. That's the case today, that we like having meals together with people that we like, but it was even more the case back in the culture of Judea at the time of Jesus, which helps to give some context to our gospel reading for today from Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." There are so many times during Jesus' ministry that he went to people's houses in order to eat with them and to teach the people who are there. Sometimes he goes to the houses of Pharisees and eats with them and tells them how they how God would have them live. But here in Luke 15, he is instead gathering with the tax collectors and sinners. Ugh, what a scandal. For the holy, pious Pharisees, for whom strict adherence to the law is of paramount importance, there was absolutely no way to countenance this, a seemingly holy teacher eating with that rabble. How could Jesus claim to be teaching God's word and fulfilling his law, while at the same time consorting with such as these? Well, hearing their grumbling, Jesus does what he normally does and tells them a series of parables as a way to bring home to the Pharisees just why it is that he goes to tax collectors and sinners rather than shunning them in favor of the religious elite, all about lost and found things. We start off with the first parable that concerns a shepherd who has 100 sheep. The shepherd notices that one of his sheep is missing, and so he leaves the 99 where they are in the field in order to go and search for this one lost little lamb. Now, sheep are dumb. The sheep probably has no idea that it is lost, or if it does figure it out, it has no idea how it got there or how to get back. It's probably chasing after grass or butterflies or something. And so the sheep probably doesn't know to appreciate what the shepherd is doing. And on top of that, he's got these 99 other perfectly good sheep sitting around right where he knows where they are. Will they still be there? But after searching high and low, the shepherd finally locates his missing sheep and carries it home on his shoulder back to the flock. See the joy of this shepherd in verse 6, when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. He wants everyone to rejoice with him at how exciting this is, that he has managed to find his lost sheep. There are a few things that don't quite seem to add up for us in this parable when we actually get down and think about it. That's one of the things with Jesus' parables. There's always something that feels a little off, and that's where the lesson lies. Why would the shepherd leave 99 sheep alone in the field in order to go after one sheep? In business, this is called acceptable loss. That if someone is going to steal a pack of gum from your store, you're probably going to let them go rather than run out and leave the store unattended so that someone can come in and steal worse. What if he lost all of the other sheep while he was searching for this one? I can just imagine the scenario. There's a video I saw on Facebook a couple times several weeks back of a mother bear trying to herd a trio of cubs across the street. When she has two of them, she gets them across, but the other one is dawdling on the other side, so she goes back to get that one, and one of the cubs follows her back, and so while she's trying to nudge the one over, she's carrying the other, and finally it takes like 20 minutes to get all three of them across. That's kind of what the sheep are like here. But this shows that the shepherd does not think of his sheep in terms of profit. They're not valuable to him because they will eventually be mutton, and in the meantime, they'll be wool factories. They are valuable to him because they are his, because they are his sheep. So, was it okay then that this sheep wandered off? No. That's why the shepherd goes after it. That's why it is so important to him to go after this sheep and bring it back. And in fact, according to many commentaries, the shepherd, when a sheep wandered off and the shepherd went to get the sheep, the shepherd would break one of the sheep's legs so that it couldn't wander off. And so he would carry the sheep back on his shoulder, which nurtures and creates a bond there that for now the sheep can't wander off. For now the sheep has to trust in the shepherd to bring it home, to tend it and look after it until its leg healed. And by then that bond was so strong, the sheep would never wander off again. And so this shepherd goes after his lost little sheep and he brings it back to the rest of the flock. And so too we see with the woman in the second parable with the lost coin. Here we have a woman who, having 10 silver coins, misplaced one of them. If you've ever bought a used chair or given away a chair, you know what this is like. This woman loses one coin, a drachma, which is roughly equal to a denarius, which is the equivalent of one day's wages. So call it $80 today, give or take. There's your lesson in ancient Near East economics for the day. The woman, she has 9 drachmas left, and so she has almost 2 weeks of wages there. But rather than be content with what she has, she instead searches the house high and low, moves the furniture around, probably does more sweeping and dusting than she's done in a month in order to find this one silver coin. And when she finds it, she rejoices, and she calls everyone over to celebrate with her that she had found yesterday's paycheck. Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that was lost. I have to admit, having lost and found more money than I care to admit in the past, I very rarely call my friends to celebrate when it happens. This coin was even more lost than that sheep was. It's an object. It has no ability to lose itself or to find itself. Once the coin had fallen, it was wherever it landed. There was nowhere for it to go, nothing for it to do. It was stuck. And so the woman has to get down on her hands and knees. She has to sweep and dust. She has to do all the work herself in order to find the coin. And once she found it, this coin, obviously it wasn't going to appreciate all the effort she went to. And yet, the coin retained its value even when it was lost, even after it was found. It is valuable regardless of its status. And so then, all of this brings us to something even more valuable, far more valuable than sheep or coins, to you. The next parable in the series is the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son, but that's not part of our lesson for today. But with Jesus' parables, the question we always have to ask ourselves is, what does this mean? Which is a very good Lutheran question that we'll answer at least a few dozen times in confirmation class. The point of Jesus' parables is always to apply them to the hearers in one way or another. In this case, Jesus is telling this to the Pharisees about sinners. So the Pharisees are those who don't think they need to repent. They would see themselves as the 99 sheep that never wandered off, the 9 coins that never got lost. They would look at the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the sinners as those whom Jesus goes to seek and save. They're the lost ones. They're the lost sheep. They're the lost coin. They are the ones who are lost. Why would you leave the rest to go after them? But in reality, all of them are lost in their own way. Both the Pharisees and the tax collectors are lost. So then, where do we fit in here? We are those whom Jesus came to save. We ourselves are lost when we're on our own. We are unable to believe by ourselves. In Luther's explanation of the third article, it begins, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him." We are utterly lost on our own, abandoned, and we have no idea how to unlose ourselves. We have no idea how we wandered off. We have no idea how to get back. We are lost when we are on our own. Imagine that lost sheep looking up 20, 30, 40 minutes later, assuming that everyone else is nearby, finding itself utterly alone in the middle of the sea of green, nothing else in sight, but maybe that was a wolf over there. That is you, and that is me, lost and on our own without Christ. We are in desperate need of Jesus coming to find us, being the good shepherd who goes to seek and save the lost, coming to save us from our sins. We could never do it on our own. Even if we know we are lost, we cannot find our way back without Jesus coming and finding us. And yet, like that lost coin, we don't lose any of our value to God just because we are lost. We are still His precious possession. But at the same time, we are also sometimes those Pharisees who don't think we need to be found. We look at our own actions and we see ourselves as overall pretty good. We haven't strayed away, so we don't need to be found. We can think more highly of ourselves than of other people or than we ought to think. I'm in Bible study, I'm in church, I help out around the congregation, so I guess I'm good enough on my own. We can indeed be Pharisaical in our thinking sometimes. But Jesus also came for them. Jesus came for the sinners, and the sinners include the Pharisees. Jesus died to forgive all sins or to redeem all sinners. And that includes even those who don't think that they need forgiveness. The Pharisees, they conspired against Jesus and put him to death, and they receive his forgiveness by faith and repentance just as we do. What an incredible thing this is to imagine. Jesus saves and forgives us and all people, even when we don't recognize or acknowledge the need. He comes to us, that good shepherd, taking us, laying us on his shoulders, and bringing us home. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost people, the result is all the same. Jesus will find them. He will reclaim them as his own. He doesn't desire anyone to be lost, but he will pay the price to recover them. So then, why does Jesus go to the tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners and eat with them? Because he came to save them from their sins. And thank God that he did, because that also includes us as sinners. Because, as Paul told Timothy, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Our sins separate us from God, and they are the reason that we were lost. But Jesus went after us. He followed us into a sin-broken world, experienced all the pain and suffering that we experience, and rescued us from the death that should have been ours. He welcomes us back. He sets his table before us. He makes us his own. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.